Do you have a friendship with the Lord Jesus? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Have you ever wondered why some people seem to know so much more about the Word of God? Have you ever wondered why some seem to be able to pray and get their prayers answered? They have learned the secret of fellowship and friendship with the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus said, I haven't called you slaves, but I've called you friends.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring profound truth simply stated in the messages of Adrian Rogers. Pastor Rogers said, a man is known by his friends. If you're a friend of Jesus, you're somebody. It is a privilege to call Jesus our friend, to know him intimately as a close companion. Simply being his servant would be an honor, but friendship with Jesus lifts us to a level we could not reach without him. We didn't choose him. He chose us. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 15 as Adrian Rogers shares more about our friendship with Jesus.
Take God's precious word and be finding John chapter 15, if you would, please. John chapter 15, in a moment I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. Some years ago, when Joyce and I were quite young, we had a little baby boy to die. And Joyce and I had never faced death before. That afternoon, as we drove to our hometown to make preparation for the funeral, we had to drive about 65 miles. And as we drove that 65 miles, we sang and prayed. One of the songs that we sang over and over again that 65 miles from Fort Pierce to West Palm Beach was, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer." It was true then, it is true now, it was true for me, it'll be true for you. The best friend anyone ever had and ever has is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you today about friendship with Jesus. Begin reading with me here in John chapter 15, verse 12. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." But now wait a moment. Not just love one another. There's a special kind of love. "That ye love one another as I have loved you." That is, you love one another with the same love that I have given to you. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Again, what a privilege to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our friend. Does Jesus have favorites? No, with him there's no respecter of persons, but he does have intimates. You can become a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's several things I want you to think about today as we think about friendship with Jesus. And I pray God the Holy Spirit will write these upon your heart. I pray that you will learn what a privilege, yes, a privilege, to be able to say that I am a friend of Jesus and Jesus is a friend of mine. There are basically five things that I see as I look in this passage of Scripture, and I pray God will write them upon your heart. And the first is the elevating consequence of friendship with Jesus. Friendship with Jesus lifts you to a level that you could not be lifted to without that. It ennobles you. It elevates you. It lifts you up to be called a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, all of us, if we could just simply be called a servant of the Lord Jesus, that would be an honor. I mean, if Jesus just simply said, "You're my servants," what an honor that would be. How that would lift us, just to serve Him. But to think that He wants us as His friend, how that lifts us, that doesn't bring Him down. That brings us up. Because you see, we didn't choose Him. He chose us. He said, "I want you to be my friend." That is an elevating, ennobling thing that we're lifted. To be called a friend of Jesus, you know, a man is known by his friends. If you're a friend of Jesus, you're somebody. I remember years and years ago when I was in seminary, Dr. Robert G. Lee, a great man, a dear man, one of the greatest men in my estimation who has ever walked planet Earth, came to speak to us at the seminary. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be near the front to hear the great Dr. Robert G. Lee preach the Word of God. I was all ears. I listened to him. He said many wonderful things. I remember one of the things that Dr. Lee said when he preached to us there at New Orleans Seminary. He said, "Young men, when you preach, preach to men's hearts, not to their heads." He said, "Everybody has a heart, not everybody has a head." I thought that was pretty good. Preach to their hearts, not to the heads. And then they needed somebody to take Dr. Lee to the train station. And I got chosen. I was going to drive Dr. Lee to the train station. I had a raggedy old car. I hoped he wouldn't mind. But what a privilege it was for me to be a servant to that man, to drive Dr. Robert G. Lee to the train station. Oh, I looked forward to it. I treated him with such deference, got him in the car, tried to mind my P's and Q's, to ask just the right questions, to bring this man to the train station. God gave me the privilege to serve him. That was a great privilege. But later on, I became the pastor of this church. Dr. Lee was a member of this church, and he and I got to be friends. One day he called me up and he said, "Pastor, would you be my guest at dinner? I'd love to have some fellowship with you and some friendship with you." Now, folks, I want to tell you, it was one thing for somebody else to appoint me as his servant, but it was quite another thing for him to invite me as his friend. Now, if all we could be is just servants of Jesus, that would be wonderful. What a privilege. What a privilege just to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if that were all. But can you imagine? Jesus said, I'm not calling you servants. I'm not calling you slaves. I'm calling you friends. And you didn't choose me. I chose you. Folks, we're somebody if we're a friend of Jesus. A man is known by his friends. In the Old Testament, Abraham was called what? The friend of God. Remember that? He was known as the friend of God. All of the disciples to whom Jesus was speaking right now, they knew that Abraham was a friend of God. Can you imagine what it must have gone through their heart when Jesus said, "Now you are my friend"? Can you imagine the honor that was theirs? And the honor, my friend, the elevating honor to be a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He sought us out. He took the initiative. We sing it, "I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him." Now, that's the first thing, the elevating consequence of this love, of this friendship. But here's the second thing I want you to notice. Not only does it elevate us or does it lift us, But I want you to see the enlarging company of this friendship, because we are lifted by friendship with the Lord Jesus, and we gain so many other friends when Jesus becomes our friend. The enlarging company of this friendship. You see, listen, when you make a new friend, do you know what you do? You get to meet his friends or her friends. And the strange thing is that when you make a new friend, then your friend's friends become your friends. And there's an ever-enlarging circle of friends when you receive a new friend. Any friend of your friend becomes your friend. Now, that's what Jesus is talking about here. That's the theme of all of this. He is saying, you're my friends, and therefore my other friends must be your friends. Go back and look at it again in verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. If I love you, then you have to love one another. My friends are your friends, and because you have me as a friend, think of all of the other friends you're going to get to have. You see, friendship with Jesus lifts us, and then friendship with Jesus gives us so many other friends. Very frankly, most of us in this building would not have known one another apart from Jesus. Now, we might have known our mates. Surely we would have known our children. But think of the friends. You see, his friends become our friends. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The ever-enlarging circle. There's one name that has brought us all together. And because we love him, we love one another, and we know so many people, the enlarging circle of our friends. That's why I love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I love the church? I love it because Jesus loves it. I told you a long time ago a story that has stuck in my heart since I've heard it over 40 years ago, I believe. A pastor in Georgia went to visit a couple, and they were new in the church, and he was visiting in the home, and a very fine home, a lovely home. And he noticed that they had a little dog, and they just made over the little dog almost as if the dog were a member of the family, almost a child. Nothing seemed to be too good for that little dog. And the pastor, it was a young couple, they looked like they had so much. The pastor said in the conversation, pardon me, but do you have any children? They dropped their head and said, no, pastor, we don't have any children. He said, well, he said, I see you treat this little dog with such love and fondness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you had a child that you could pour that love out on? When the pastor said that, he knew he'd made a big mistake, because the woman began to cry and walked out of the room. He said to the husband who was there, I'm sorry, I don't know what I said, but surely I said something. It was a social error. I am so sorry. What did I say? He said, pastor, it wasn't your fault, but you don't understand. We did have a son. It was the only son that we could have, and the doctor said we could never have any more children. And our son has died and is in heaven. And this little dog that you think we make too much of, that was his dog. He loved this dog so much. And pastor, very frankly, we can't have any more children. And the love that we're pouring on this little animal is really just our way of saying we love our son. You may think we love this dog too much, but I tell you, we love him so much because our son loved him so much. Now, friend, when I heard that story, I said, you know, that's so like the church of the Lord Jesus. You know, we're not much, folks. Look around. We're not much. But I tell you, there's somebody who loves us. There's somebody who loves us, and his name is Jesus. He loves us. Why do I love the church? Because Jesus loves the church. And don't you ever criticize the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ loves the church. And he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. What a circle of friends we have because we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. We are to love others as Jesus loved us. That's what friendship means. Now, here's the third thing I want you to see. I want you to see not only the elevating consequences of friendship with Jesus, and I want you to see not only the enlarging company of friendship with Jesus, but thirdly, I want you to see as we look at this, the enduring cost of friendship with Jesus. Did you know that it costs to be a friend of Jesus? Look, if you will, in verses 13 and 14, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There are no cheap friendships, not real friendships. True friendship costs, but it's worth it. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. No bargain friendships. Now, friendship with Jesus is not earned by obedience, but it is shown by obedience. Now, we're to love one another because we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes it costs to love one another. There's no cheap way. Again, there's no easy way to be a good friend to anyone. Friendships are expensive, but they're well worth it. Now, Jesus said, I don't call you servants, and the word there is literally slaves, but he said, I call you friends. You know, there are three reasons why someone might serve one another. If you're a slave, you serve another because he's your master and you have to. Or if you are employed, you serve your employer because you need to. I mean, you need the pay. But if the person is a friend, you serve him not because you have to or you need to, but because you want to. Now, that's the highest kind of service, where we serve because we want to. Do you know why I love to come to church on Sunday morning? If people say, well, you don't have to go to church to love God. You don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. Well, there's one thing wrong with that. It's just not so. Just not so. Now, obviously, there are people who are sick and cannot come. God knows their heart. But any man who willfully, deliberately stays away from the worship service, that man is most likely not a Christian. Now, he's not saved because he comes to church. Anybody who's saved is saved by the grace of God. But you listen to me, friend. If you have no desire to be with the saints down here, you have little hope of being with the saints up there. Do you know what you say when you come to church on Sunday morning? When you get up and other people out doing other things and you come here to worship in the assembly on Sunday morning, you're saying two things. You're saying, number one, God is important to me, and number two, these other people are important to me. I mean, my brothers and sisters are important. Not only is God important to me, but we are important one to another. That's what the Scripture says. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. There's the enduring cost of this friendship. I've talked to you about the fact that friendship lifts us. He chose us to be called a friend of Jesus. What an ennobling thing that is. And then we've talked about the fact that friendship with Jesus enlarges us. We meet so many other friends, and there's the ever-increasing circle of friends that we meet. And I have friends around the world because of that one friend whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we've talked about the enduring cost that you can't have any bargain friendships. But now let me talk to you about the compensation. If you think that the cost is bad, think, if you will, about the enriching compensation of friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, in verse 15. What are some of the compensations? Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now, folks, that is a great verse that you might want to underline in your Bible. What is the first compensation of being a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that we've not already mentioned. Well, it'll make you spiritually perceptive. It'll make you spiritually perceptive when you become a friend of the Lord Jesus. To be a friend of the Lord Jesus is to be brought into the inner circle. To be a friend of the Lord Jesus is to be given insights that other people don't know. Have you ever wondered why some people seem to know so much more about the Word of God than others? Have you ever wondered why some seem to be able to pray and get their prayers answered? It's right here. They have learned the secret of fellowship and friendship with the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus said, I haven't called you slaves. That's what the word servant means. But I've called you friends. Now, in this day, there were many slaves, and they were rarely friends. The slave was told what to do. He wasn't told why to do it. It was none of his business. He didn't know his master's plans necessarily. He didn't know his master's heart. He didn't know his master's feelings. He just said, do this, and he was told to do this, and he would do it, or go here, or come, or do whatever. But Jesus said, now, I'm not calling you slaves. I am calling you friends, because the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But he said, I've made known unto you everything that the Father has made known unto me. Now, put these verses in your margin, because they're wonderful verses that impinge upon this verse. In John chapter 17, just a few verses later, verses 6 and 7, he says to his disciples, I have manifested my name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. What is that saying? Jesus is saying in these verses in John 17, verses 6 and 7, Father, I am revealing sacred secrets to my friends. Or again, in Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus began to speak in parables, his disciples couldn't understand why Jesus was speaking in parables. And Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, this is what it says, And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now listen to the answer as Jesus talked to his friends. And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Folks, it's good to be on the inside. It's good to be an insider. It's good to be in the inner circle. It's good to be a friend of the Lord Jesus. Friendship has its privileges. There are some sacred secrets. There are some things that the child of God knows and the friend of Jesus knows that other people don't know.
And with that, we'll conclude today's portion of the message and pick up with part two tomorrow here on Love Worth Finding. Pastor Rogers said Jesus is our way to God and God's way to us. Maybe as you've listened today, you have questions regarding your faith in Christ. We'd love to offer an insightful resource on our website, the Find God's Love page. Go to lwf.org/radio, and you'll find resources and materials that will answer questions you may have about your relationship with God. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, Friendship with Jesus. You can also order online at lwf.org/radio or write to us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Thanks so much for studying in God's Word with us today. If you'd like to start receiving daily devotions and links to the program that are really encouraging, sign up for our daily Heartbeat emails. Do that at the website, lwf.org/radio. And join us tomorrow for part two of Friendship with Jesus, right here on Love Worth Finding. We loved reading a comment from one of our international listeners who shared not long ago, This is an excellent program. Every day is helpful to build my life and my relationship with Jesus. Thank God for your lives and your spiritual help. Well, at Love Worth Finding, we love to inspire and equip you with messages and resources for your daily Christian walk. And to thank you for your gift of support right now, we'd love to send you a copy of our beautiful Beatitudes calligraphy print. This 12-by-16-inch print is a perfect decorative addition to the household, learning how to abide by the foundational teachings of Christ. Request it when you call with a gift today, 1-877-LOVE-GOD, 1-877-568-3463, or give online at lwf.org/radio. And thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.